Please pray with me. Gracious God, may our eyes see your salvation, may our ears hear your word, and may our lives show forth your love. Amen. So out of the 12 days of Christmas, today is the 9th day of Christmas, and things have finally settled down. We gathered together on Christmas Eve, many of us traveling long distances. I spent Christmas in Birmingham, Alabama, my home, where we had our first white Christmas in recorded history. We celebrated Christmas Day, and then a week later, the hubbub of New Year's Eve with the big countdown and New Year's Day on its heels, and now it's the morning after. Everyone's gone home or is moving that way, and we can pause and take a deep breath. That's how it is for Mary in this morning's gospel reading. This morning's text tells us that at some point the shepherds go home. It's been quite an event this first Christmas. There have been angels singing In Excelsis Deo. The angels go get these shepherds who come into town to celebrate and to see what's going on, and the stable fills up, cows and sheep, angels and shepherds, and in the midst of it all, there sits Mary, who's just given birth to a baby in a stable. Mary, who's just traveled from Nazareth to Bethlehem, maybe on a donkey, probably on foot, while she was 8 or 9 months pregnant. Mary, who's got to be tired. Here Mary sits in the stable receiving angels and shepherds. So when they finally all go home, don't you know that Mary has to be just a little relieved? At some point, the angels finish singing sweetly o'er the plain and the mountains finish echoing their joyous strain. At some point, the shepherds go home. And this morning, Scripture tells us that Mary takes it all in. Mary treasures all these things and ponders them in her heart. At last, Mary is alone with her thoughts and alone with her newborn child. In the hours or days after that first Christmas, Mary at long last finds herself alone with Jesus. Can you imagine what that must have been like? Joseph is sacked out in a pile of hay. The cows are moving around a bit, but now it's just Mary and Jesus. And Mary takes a good look at his face. Maybe she counts the fingers and toes one more time just to make sure. Jesus gurgles up some sound at her and then drifts off to sleep, and Mary ponders these things in her heart. As Mary holds this new life, she gently rests her ear on Jesus' chest. And there in the quiet of the stable, she listens for the heartbeat of God. In the moments and the days after Christmas, Mary places her head on Jesus' chest and she listens for the heartbeat of God. Now, I came upon this notion of the heartbeat of God in an entirely different context. Last year, I had the opportunity to go and spend some time with the Iona community on a tiny, windswept island off the west coast of Scotland. The island of Iona is an ancient place. It's where Christianity arrived in the British Isles. The Iona community in the present day is an international Christian community that gathers in this place as a part of their continuing work for peace and justice in the world. The Iona community sees all of life as one whole, with no separation between worship and work. Our worship flows into our work, and our work flows back into our worship. It is all what we do in the presence of God. Our life of faith is life. And so the ancient Christian spirituality of the Iona community emphasizes listening for the heartbeat of God in all things, and particularly listening for the heartbeat of God in the whole of creation. Now, maybe you've experienced something like that. standing on the beach as the waves crash in, or sitting for a while and watching the sunset, catching a glimpse of a full moon that seems too big for the sky to hold. We stand before the vast expanse of all that God has made, and we sense that there is something bigger than us, and we listen for the heartbeat of God. Or maybe this happens for some of us, this listening for the heartbeat of God. Maybe this happens more for us in community. Maybe we experience this volunteering at the senior center or in the welcome ministry. We share life. We share our work together. We sit down at table together. And in the clamor of conversation there, we listen for the heartbeat of God. We do that here in this place. We gather around the living word, around this table, and we sing, and we pray, and we worship, and we serve together. We listen for the heartbeat of God. And maybe, as the Iona community notices, this happens sometimes in the ordinary, quiet places of life. Maybe this listening for us happens when we pray on our own, or in our daily work, or in an easy conversation with old friends, as we get kids ready for school in the morning, or as we take care of someone who is sick. As we do what we do every day, we listen for the heartbeat of God. And maybe sometimes we listen for the heartbeat of God when we most need to hear from God. Maybe this listening happens in the hard places of life, when we are broken or hurting, when we are struggling with loss. Maybe we listen for the heartbeat of God when we most desperately need to hear it. Maybe we listen for the heartbeat of God when we need to know there is a God, when we need to know that we are not alone. We long to hear something from God, and so we strain as hard as we can out of the silence, and we listen for the heartbeat of God. That's how it's been for Simeon in this morning's gospel reading. Simeon has been waiting for years and years for what the scriptures call the consolation of Israel. The text reminds us that Simeon's world, Mary's world, is a hard, hard world. They are people living under military occupation. Their world is a world of violence and poverty and economic struggle where most people barely scrape by. And so Simeon waits for the consolation of Israel, waits for one who will come and comfort the people and stand with them and stand up for them. Simeon waits and listens for the heartbeat of God, the liberating, redeeming, saving heartbeat of God. And in the days just after that first Christmas, guided by the Spirit, Simeon goes to the temple, and there Mary places Jesus in his arms. And holding Jesus, Simeon says, "Sovereign God, you now dismiss your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light toward revelation of the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel." Holding Jesus, Simeon hears what Mary hears. And the text says again that Mary is amazed at this. Mary treasures these things and ponders them in her heart. In the moments and days after the first Christmas, Mary rests her head on Jesus' chest, and she listens for the heartbeat of God. And from this point, the gospel story takes off. What Mary hears in those first days after Christmas will draw her out into the whole of the life of Christ. Mary raises Jesus through childhood and adolescence. She struggles with her teenage son. Another gospel tells us that Mary and Jesus go to a wedding and the wine runs out. Mary tells her son Jesus to do something about it, and he turns water into wine. Mary experiences the miraculous in the life of Christ. And Mary travels with Jesus to Jerusalem, where Jesus is arrested and tried. Mary is there for the whole of the life of Christ. Mary's there at the foot of the cross, and she watches as Jesus dies. The great pietas that artists have created over the century, they show us this, Mary holding the crucified Christ. The soldiers take Jesus down from the cross, and Mary holds Jesus one more time. And there, on a dark night, hope against hope. Mary rests her ear on Jesus' chest and listens for the heartbeat of God. And on the third day, Mary experiences the heartbeat of God yet again in resurrection. With Mary, we hear the heartbeat of God in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the good news of Christmas, the heartbeat of God pulsing in the fullness of humanity. God loves us this much. At the moment when the world stands in need of consolation, when we most need to know that violence will end and that the hungry will be fed, when we most need to know that there is something bigger than us and that we are not alone, when we most need to know deep in our bones that we are loved, God comes to us. God comes to us in Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, God comes to us and lives life with us. Jesus walks with us and touches us and heals us and teaches us and corrects us and forgives us and suffers with us and climbs up on a cross and goes with us even unto death. And on the third day, Jesus brings us out of the grave and into new life. The heartbeat of God in Jesus Christ brings us new life. God's love for us, as vulnerable as a newborn child, God's love for us stronger even than death. The heartbeat of God gives us life. And not just any life. The heartbeat of God gives us the life of Christ. When we listen and when we hear, this heartbeat of God draws us out and invites us into and calls us to live the life of Christ in and for the world. The heartbeat of God calls for our response. And first, it calls us to listen. To listen for the heartbeat of God in the whole of life. We're listening for the heartbeat of God this morning in our worship, in our prayer, in Holy Scripture, in the quiet of each other's presence. And we listen for the heartbeat of God as we move from this place out into the world. We listen for the heartbeat of God in our work and in our homes and in our conversation, in the words we use with each other. We listen for the heartbeat of God in the deep need of the world. And where we listen and where we hear, the heartbeat of God calls us to live and to act. Now, I want to say something that I've wrestled with because it seems almost too radical to say. But I've come to believe that at the very heart of the gospel is this truth. And it's this. As we live into the life of Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit, we become the heartbeat of God in and for the world. God's heart beats where the hungry are fed. God's heart beats where those who need shelter find a home. God's heart beats where those who have been pushed out are welcomed back in. God's heart beats where unjust systems are dismantled and justice rolls down like a mighty stream. God's heart beats where all who mourn find comfort and when all who are broken find healing. You know, we make a pretty bold claim as the church. We claim to be the body of Christ. So if you want to listen for the heartbeat of God in the body of Christ, you need only place your hand on your own heart. Or take the hand of the person sitting next to you. Or feed the hungry. Or welcome the stranger. Or set the captive free. Or bind up the brokenhearted. This is the good news of Christmas. The heartbeat of God pulsing in the fullness of humanity in and for the world God loves. In the moments and the days after the first Christmas, Mary and Simeon listened for the heartbeat of God, and what they heard and what they saw and what they held in their arms changed the world forever. This morning, on January 2nd, 2011, this ninth day of Christmas, we stand on the threshold of a new year to listen, a new year to choose and to live the life of Christ. And especially around Christmas, we know that in this, we are not alone. We move out from this place into the world together, and in the words of an ancient prayer, we move out into the world, Christ beside us, Christ behind us, Christ before us. Christ within us, Christ above us, Christ beneath us, Christ in the breadth, height, and depth of life, Christ with us, as near to us as the beating of our own hearts. In this new year, and in the days to come, with Mary, may we listen for the heartbeat of God. And may the heartbeat of God in Jesus Christ bring new life to us and to the whole world.